everyone, and welcome to We Blame Harry Styles, a podcast dedicated to the work of musician, model, actor, and icon Harry Styles, as well as his numerous talented collaborators.
This week on episode 5, we'll give a brief overview of the news before diving into an in-depth breakdown of the Fine Line album photo shoot.
My name is Key.
And I'm Gray.
And what do we blame Harry for this week?
Having to see mask discourse again.
In a similar vein, I'm going to blame Harry for the mess on my Twitter timeline this week.
Oh, how we will get into this at the end of the show. But
we will. And obviously being facetious, the actual blame does not fall on Harry this week. It falls on dumb people. But we shall revisit that later in the show.
Oh, we shall. Key, do you want to take us into the news?
Yeah, absolutely. So first, we're going to give a brief overview of the news that happened this week. We got an article that talked about Harry and Phoebe Waller-Bridge being in the Tree People with Kindness music video. So we said last week maybe that we'd get something like this, and we were right, and we did. So a quote from this article from the two directors of the video reads, "One day we were just talking about the videos we were watching. We thought the dance videos were really cool. So I said to Harry, well, what about you and Phoebe dancing together? And because we'd just been to the Fleabag show, he was like, yeah, absolutely. And the rest is history. Harry then called Phoebe along with his choreographer, Paul Roberts, and the pair were both keen to get involved. So that just kind of gives a quick description of how Phoebe Waller-Bridge got into the project. I remember Harry going to see the Fleabag show. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it all kind of comes together.
Yeah, it was interesting. What I thought was most interesting was they were like, the process was very quick and the shoot happened within one day. That means that he learned to dance that dance so fast.
Yeah, they didn't talk too much about the process of like learning it, which is interesting to me. I would have liked to hear some about that. I hope at some point we'll get a behind the scenes video that'll show them learning the dance and we'll get to see a little bit about that. But it's very impressive to me if they turned it around real quick.
Yeah, very, very impressive indeed. What I thought was very sweet was they also mentioned that Harry made everybody feel 10 feet tall, and even people's kids were there, and they just all felt that it was very special.
Yeah, that's a very sweet story from the set as well. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to give a little bit of the discussion in the news this week to a little segment we like to call the rumor section. So, Key, I heard that you have heard some words on the street.
On the street? I haven't seen the street in like 3 months. It's COVID. What is the street? No. Yes. So a little rumor that's been flying around this week. It has been flying around prior to this week, but it was renewed with vigor this week that Harry might be appearing in a little film called Marvel's The Eternals. So I feel like people already know about this. I'm not sure how much background I should give. I'll err on the side of caution and give some background. So The Eternals is a movie that was supposed to come out this previous November, so like a couple months ago, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you know, Iron Man, The Avengers, all that. And The Eternals was a movie I was curious about. So my toxic trait is that I love monoculture. Like, I love when everybody's into the same thing at once and, like, everybody's talking about something. I'm a socialist who loves Marvel movies. Listen.
Shame on you.
It's a fine line. Contradictions.
You're a traitor to the revolution.
I am. I'm sorry. I just like them, and they bring me joy, and I feel guilt, but not enough to stop watching them. But yeah, so I was like kind of following news about Marvel's The Eternals when it was first announced because the director of this movie is Chloe Zhao, who's like really interesting kind of indie director who Marvel hired for this project. And now this year she made a film called Nomadland, which is like all around the award circuit. Everybody's talking about it. It's big in terms of like movie news. And Chloe Zhao is like a really interesting director. And so yeah, so in all these like huge names are in the cast. Angelina Jolie, Richard Madden, Gemma Chan, like there's a million others that are slipping my mind right now. But so the reason why I bring this up is because there's a rumor that Harry might be appearing in the project. Now, I don't know exactly where this rumor originated, but from what I can tell, the people who know things about Marvel, it's just in the ether that he was being considered, that he might, that his name was thrown out there, that this might be a thing. Now, what that means to me is that there might be a cameo in the movie if he did appear. Like, we'd know. If he was a main character in the movie, we'd know. So I'm thinking post-credit scene, maybe small cameo.
Tell us a little bit about Star Fox.
So Star Fox, the character that he's rumored to be playing, is like, basically his power is like charm. So I didn't read the Eternals comics, but this is like from Googling it the other day when I looked this up. So I was like, okay, if Harry was going to play a superhero, your superpower being like convincing other people through the power of your words, like charm, like that, he'd be perfect casting for that.
That'd be so hot.
Yeah, that like really hits the nail on the head for me. So that was like my first tick where I was like, that's interesting. That sounds like something that Marvel would do. And then some other little tidbits that make me think this could be likely. Because if I, like, rumors like this happen all the time. So I would kind of brush this off if there weren't other things involved. So one of the things that's involved for me is that the director, Chloe Zhao, was spotted in, like, a photograph that was released, I think, for promo for Nomadland. She was spotted in a Treat People with Kindness t-shirt.
He likes to, like, leave those around, like, nuggets. Like,
he gives them to people he works with.
Right. So if somebody has one of those, I feel like this does have credence, because every time someone has showed up in one of those, it's turned out that he's worked with them.
No, but so, yeah. So if a random person, like, on the street is, like, wearing a Treat People with Kindness shirt, I'm not like, oh, my God, they're working with Harry Styles. But I just, Chloe Zhao, maybe I'm totally wrong. It's just, like, the synergy of things kind of coming together. I was like, it's suspicious to me. My ears are like, you know,
it's extremely suspicious. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. So that, and so I'm like, you know, as a kind of begrudging fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and a fan of Harry's, I just think that, you know, maybe something to keep an eye out for. And if it ends up happening, I'd love to not know about it and have this information not be leaked, and then just be watching Marvel's The Eternals, and then he just shows up in the post-credit scene. Like, I'd freak and that'd be super fun. So
yeah, it would be very fun. And I do wonder how many Harrys are going to go to The Eternals and, like, sit there and, like, hope that he's there. Marvel can take that to the bank.
Yeah, I would. I'm there. I'm unfortunately there either way, and I would see it on opening day. And that's just who I am, and I kind of feel bad about it, but it's fine.
Now, here's my question. Even if he's only around for 3 seconds in the movie, how likely is it that he becomes part of the most popular pairing in the movie ships in fan fiction?
Highly likely. Well, not, yeah, of that specific movie, highly likely. And I already know exactly who the ship would be, and we don't have to talk about it now, but I am confident that I know exactly what would happen.
His name rhymes with Hitcher Dadden.
Yeah, so that's a thing. So who knows? Maybe we're totally clowning. I feel like it's tradition now that we start this episode off with a little bit of a clown. So there that is for you, and we shall see if that occurs.
Shall see if it occurs. Okay, so moving into our main segment, we are so excited about this main segment because this is really one of the first things that Key and I discussed actually talking about on our podcast. It's something that we're very passionate about. We are going to discuss the Tim Walker, Shona Heath, Harry Styles collaboration that is the album shoot for the Fine Line album.
Yay!
Yes. So first, we're going to give you a little bit of background on the collaborators. We're going to discuss their artistic style, and then we're going to go through the photographs one by one, as well as any supplemental materials, influences, etc. We are going to give a very, very extensive list of links in the description of this episode, as well as on Twitter, because there's so much information about these artists and their work on other shoots, even though there's like no information about this one. But yeah, these are very, very established, very talented people. And there's no way that we could possibly give their entire careers justice here. So we're going to give you them in context, essentially, here. But yeah, please, if you have the time, please go like read about them and like learn about their careers, because they're just amazing.
Yeah, I had a really good time reading the supplementary material for this episode. I found it really interesting, so I would recommend.
All right. So who are Tim Walker and Shona Heath? So Tim Walker is a photographer. He mainly does editorial for fashion, but he's also done his own shoots via patrons. He recently had a huge showing at Victoria and Albert Museum in 2019 that Harry attended that covered the breadth and span of his work. Tim Walker is still relatively young for somebody to have an exhibition, so he's a really big deal in editorial photography. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not necessarily like an A-list celebrity, but in the photography world, like, Tim Walker is a really big deal. But yeah, that's essentially who Tim Walker is. He collaborated really deeply with Shona Heath in this photo shoot, but they've been collaborating together for the past 20 years. Mm-hmm. Not exclusively, but very, very closely. So Shona Heath is a set designer. She works in the surrealist style, which is a style that Tim Walker photographs in as well. And she is very, very established too. She mainly does fashion editorial.
Yeah, and even works in like film and other areas as well.
And she and Tim have very, very similar things they draw on. And yeah, she's one of the go-to people in editorial as well. Like, if you need to design an amazing shoot, like, Shona Heath is there. She has got you covered. So these are like incredible like artists and people. Like I said before, they're both surrealist in style. And so, Key, would you like to walk our readers through like a slight crash course in what surrealism is?
Our readers or our listeners?
Key, would you like to guide our listeners through a little crash course in surrealism?
Sure, yeah. So I just want to preface this by saying that my degree in college was not in art history or anything of the sort. So this is definitely going to be like a kind of a bare bones explanation of surrealism. And if that is your specialty, if you happen to be listening to this and you're an expert in surrealism, please let us know. I'd love to hear from you and what your thoughts were on this shoot. But I just thought it was really important to kind of describe what surrealism is, because it will kind of guide our interpretations of the photography and of the fine line cover. Because Shona Heath and Tim Walker are both so deeply embedded in surrealism, and it's so central to their work, I think it's just like important to kind of understand the tenets of that art style and how that comes together with the album cover. So yeah, so this is just a little description from the website of the Tate Modern, which is a museum in England. It says that surrealism is a 20th century literary, philosophical, and artistic movement that explored the workings of the mind, championing the irrational, the poetic, and the revolutionary. So they go on to add that surrealism aimed to revolutionize human experience, rejecting a rational vision of life in favor of one that asserted the value of the unconscious and dreams. The movement's poets and artists found magic and strange beauty in the unexpected, the uncanny, the disregarded, and the unconventional. So I thought that kind of was a really good kind of short description of the art style that you'll find in a lot of the images that we're going to go on to discuss and a lot of the other work that the collaborators that worked on this shoot have done. And I also just wanted to kind of add here that I think there's a lot of those kind of terms that speak to the photos that we're going to look at. So like finding strange beauty in the unexpected, but that also kind of speak to like, I guess thinking about how to intro this topic, it might seem like to listeners like it comes out of nowhere, but like we've talked about before, Gray and I, as the host of the show, like are both queer people, and Harry himself is part of the LGBT plus community, and Tim Walker, the photographer for this shoot, is also a part of the LGBT plus community. So to me, when I was reading kind of this description of surrealism, I was really drawn to kind of the elements of that remind me of queerness and queerness in art.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I definitely feel like there is a certain surrealism that a lot of queer artists take up. I can definitely see from Tim Walker's other work, like how their aesthetics and how queer aesthetics inform both of them.
Yeah.
And definitely why he would have wanted to collaborate with Harry, other than, oh my gosh, Tim Walker is an amazing editorial photographer. Like, no, their aesthetics are distinct, but like their collaboration makes a lot of sense, I think.
Yeah, it definitely does. And so I looked a little bit into, and I won't get into this like a lot, but I looked a little bit into like the history of queerness in surrealism. And there's like a noted, there's an interesting aspect of it to me, which is that a lot of the original, like, quote unquote fathers of the surrealist movement, like, were not queer and were in fact like anti-gay or professed to be homophobic. But as kind of the movement continued on, there was like a separation between kind of queer surrealist artists, like you might think Frida Kahlo, people like that, mm-hmm. and kind of the more traditional, ironically, right? Because realism is kind of the anti-traditional, but there was kind of this split within the movement. And so I have another quote here that kind of speaks to that. So it says, the issue of same-sex desire has been largely neglected by surrealist scholarship, despite the intolerance of the surrealist leader. A considerable number of gay and lesbian artists and writers were attracted to the surrealist movement. This was particularly the case in England, United States, Spain, Australia. In these locations, surrealism was viewed as a sympathetic haven by individuals whose sexuality didn't conform to the heterosexual norm. So again, like, this doesn't, we'll talk throughout our discussion of these photos, like how this kind of plays into it. I don't think it's necessarily like a one-to-one. This is exactly what Harry was trying to communicate with this shoot. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not my perspective on it. But I just think it's kind of an interesting thing to keep in mind as we discuss these photos, as we discuss the people that contributed to this shoot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess before we get into these photos, we want to have the conversation of, I guess, why we're doing this now, because these photos did come out over a year ago. And I feel like maybe our listeners might be wondering, like, oh, why are Key and Gray, you know, going all the way back? Mm-hmm. And so Key and I, even right before we were recording this, we started having a conversation just about, you know, Harry's collaborators and how he's just collaborating with these amazing people. And it kind of seems like nobody notices. Mm-hmm. Like, when we were researching for this podcast, there's no interviews with Tim and Shona for whatever reason about their collaboration with Harry. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of like a pattern I've noticed where he will work with like these really cool people and often like, where's the recognition of it, you know?
Yeah, in a mainstream kind of way. Harry himself was asked about the shoot maybe once or twice during his press mm-hmm. tour for Fine Line. But yeah, there's no sort of mainstream coverage of his art that delves into this work with kind of the gravity that I think it deserves, that you think it deserves, that I think a lot of fans think it deserves. So I wish, like, again, we're not art historians. I really wish that some people would steal our idea and who have degrees in this or who, you know, this is their specialty and this is their interest. I wish that those people would delve into this shoot. I'd love to read it. But that hasn't happened. So that's why we wanted to do it.
Seriously, like, we are about to get into a pretty in-depth discussion of photography, and he and I are both not photographers. If you have any knowledge in this field that you would like to share with us, please, please, please message us. We would love to hear it. We'd love to hear your perspective. But yeah, now I think we're going to get into the photographs. At this point in time, I will note that there are going to be some comparative photographs between specifically this shoot and a couple of shoots that Tim and Shona Heath did prior to the shoot. So there's a shoot called The Garden of Earthly Delights, and there's a shoot called Inside the Arcane World of Gucci. There is a Twitter thread with comparative photographs, so it would probably be in your interest to, at this point in time, go to the description of this podcast and click on that so you can kind of understand the comparative images, because otherwise, you know, it might seem like...
Yeah, we'll describe the photos that we're talking about,
right.
And endeavor to kind of communicate that information. But I think it would add a lot to kind of see what we're talking about.
To be able to look at these images,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
Exactly. Okay, so are you ready to talk about photography?
I am. Let's talk about the cover photo.
Let's talk about the cover photo. Okay, so the Fine Line cover photo. This photo was released on November 4th, 2019 on Harry's social media. Key, what did you feel when you first saw this photograph?
So much.
Yeah.
So I think, like, I was just so blown away by this photo when I first saw it. I think there's, like, something so special about surrealist imagery that we, like, don't see it very often in, you know, our normal everyday lives. And it speaks to kind of this unconscious thing in your brain, right? That's what I thought when I looked at this image. I just, it was just emanating such a unique feeling, and that was so exciting to me for what it would speak to when it comes to the album. And I just had never seen anything like it before. So I was kind of like shocked in that way, because if you'd asked me, like, what do you think the album's going to look like? I never would have said this, because this doesn't live in my brain. It's just such an amazing and kind of unique experience to be surprised in that kind of massive way by an image like this. What about you?
Well, I was not a hardcore Harry back then, but I do think about this image a lot. It has stuck with me, and I feel like it only improves with time. Particularly as we've seen him, you know, discuss a lot to do with freedom and confidence and gender over the course of the era. It really has aged to me like fine. I was going to say aged like fine line. It aged like fine wine.
Love that.
So I think that it's just really cool and has a very fascinating energy to it as well. Very dreamlike and very striking. I'd like to have this conversation in a little bit more detail. We should maybe start with Harry himself, what he had to say about it. He said, "I just wanted it to feel really free. The making of the album felt much happier than anything I've done before, and I guess I just wanted it to feel like how it felt making it when looking at it. I wanted it. I'm trying to work out how to explain it. I guess just the energy of it is quite like confident and looks quite happy. To me, it definitely portrays what the album is."
Yeah, I love that quote. I love how he's kind of not exactly sure how to explain it, because I'm not either. And like, we'll get into all of the varieties of implications and interpretations and all these different things that we can associate with this photograph. But at the end of the day, like, it does just kind of emanate a very particular energy that I'm not, that I'm kind of at a loss for words for at the end of the day. I mean, we'll try, but.
Yeah, we're going to try. Yeah, no, I definitely feel like a freeness and a happiness and confidence to this image. I feel like definitely Harry is showing himself as somebody very comfortable in his own skin, and somebody very comfortable sitting at the intersections of somebody who is comfortable with maybe, you know, making you a little uncomfortable looking at the image. I feel like when looking at this image, it reminds me of some of the stuff that you were reading earlier today about queerness and surrealism. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, definitely. So again, a part of the definition of surrealism that I read before talks about finding magic and strange beauty in the unexpected, the disregarded, the unconventional. And so this album cover is really unconventional in a lot of different ways. But like we've talked about many times in the show and kind of throughout this era, so much of Harry's work has this line running through it of femininity, of gender expression. And so that's something that, like, of course, that jumps out majorly in this image because of the pink and blue. Like, that's classic symbolism. Like, I think most of us, when we see those colors together, that's kind of the association in our particular society that we have with those colors, is those kind of gendered implications. And so because of kind of the flamboyancy and the femininity in this pose and the confidence that comes along with that and the colors in the image, like, all of that kind of is emanating from this album cover.
Yeah. But I do think that, like, too, like, when we say queerness, too, we do mean it in sort of an academic way also, like the blending of the masculine and the feminine, the disruption. Yeah, I do feel like this photo does have a little bit of disruption to it because, you know, Harry is confident in it, and confidence, you know, is traditionally seen, you know, for better or for worse, but it's seen as like this masculine trait. So Harry is very like confident in the pink that he's wearing, and he's just really feeling himself in the way that he is expressing himself. You know, I wouldn't say that this is an all feminine or an all masculine photo. He really is sitting there at the queer intersections of expression here, and I do think that that's really cool to get into a little bit more minutiae, Tim Walker loves pink. Both Tim Walker and Shona Heath love pink, but Tim said something very fun about it, I think. Do you want to read off this little Tim Walker quote about the color pink?
Sure. So Tim said, color is such an emotional encounter. Pink is such a joyful color. It's such a sexual color. And the notion of raspberry, strawberry, cherry, you know, I think of all joyful things, is what he said, which is very funny considering the fruit associations that evidently Harry and Tim Walker both have. But yeah.
Yeah, I think that that's very funny too. Like, I can imagine Harry even maybe watching that Art of Style video that this is in and just having a good little chuckle.
Yeah, for sure.
I also think it's really interesting the conversations that Tim has had regarding the way that he works with models and how he doesn't really tell people like what to do on his shoots. He sort of lets them live in their sets. So he says, I am very into all creative people who I work with. I want them to own and enjoy and exist within their photograph. I find this really interesting. You know, it's very interesting to me to imagine the different poses that Harry may have had in this outfit and how this may have ended up being in the fine line photo set, because it is such an iconic pose.
Yeah,
you know?
Now especially. Yeah, I was thinking the same exact thing. Like, to me, I'm not, like, this isn't a specific pose that, like, means something to me, right? It's not, like, a recognizable thing. And that's how things become iconic, right? He's not riffing on something that already exists, at least to my knowledge. Like, this is just, like, I don't know if this is just something he just did. I don't know if they planned this, like, what's behind this particular pose. But, yeah, that's what makes things last, right? Is, like, this sticks in my brain now. And whenever he does this from now on, like, everybody knows what that is, you know? So that's very exactly. cool. And I also want to say, too, like, looking at kind of the symbolism of this photo, there's been a lot of talk about the hand on the front cover, which is has been revealed, like, in a couple of different interviews, that it's Tim Walker's hand in the bottom left corner. And the pose kind of ties into that for me as well. So, again, like, I think when we talk about especially surrealist images, I kind of want to stay away from, like, a one-to-one, like, high school English class kind of symbology interpretation, because I don't necessarily think that that's always what's behind these sorts of images. But to go kind of against myself on that one, I do think that there's, like, interesting discussions to be had about the hand on this cover, which I just find very intriguing. So kind of what jumps out to me about it is kind of this, like, it's like a presentation, is, like, kind of how I see it. And because Harry is so at the center of this photo and he's a performer, it reads very like a performance to me. And the pose is, like, kind of, yeah, I don't know if I'm, like, I'm struggling to articulate what I mean, but it's very, like, to me, at least, what I seem to get from this kind of combination of the hand kind of gesturing towards him and the pose that he's doing. It's like, it does remind me a little bit of the fact that Harry is a performer and that he's kind of being presented to some sort of audience and that he's performing in that way by doing this pose. Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense. And we can talk about this too when we talk about the use of the fisheye lens here. But I find it really interesting that this is a fisheye lens photo. And it kind of almost, like, when you're looking at the hand presenting him, in some movies, you know, the screen will, especially like cartoons, the screen will open up like a circle. And so I do think that, like, there is an essence of, like, you've been opened up to seeing this part of his world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
I also noted that, like, I saw a post on Twitter, I think, that was showing that, like, with the use of the fisheye lens, it means that you can't see the whole room. So whatever that may imply, you know, go for it. But I do find that interesting that, for me, it at least inspires a sense of movement there. How you are, like, if you are presenting him, it is very much in an aspect of the performance is about to begin, the curtains are opening,
right,
kind of way.
And it, yeah, exactly. I was thinking the same thing, like, the curtains are opening, the performance is beginning, and also it places the focus so clearly on him as, like, the central figure. If in some of the other photos that we'll talk about later, there are kind of these other things going on. There's, like, elements of the set that, like, draw the eye, but there's, like, absolutely no mistaking about this album cover where your eye is supposed to be drawn. And the fisheye lens and the hand pointing to him kind of all come together to make that happen as well.
Do you want to close out our discussion of this photo with just some little tidbits of information about the history of the fisheye lens, Key?
Sure. So there was a piece done by Vox. I believe they made a video about the Fine Line album cover and kind of used it as a jumping off point to discuss the fisheye lens. So the fisheye lens is something that has been used a lot in album photography, particularly in there's like 90s music, and also before that in kind of the 60s and 70s rock kind of sphere, which Harry draws a lot of influence from. So the Vox video kind of talked about that. And then I also thought it was interesting that Shona Heath and Tim Walker, in collaboration with each other, use the fisheye lens a lot. I think you can tell from this image, right? It lends a sort of surreality to the image. It's like, it kind of adds this unreal quality and this kind of twisted element, not twisted in like a bad way, but you know, that energy. And so that combination of kind of like the classic influences that Harry has that everyone always talks about in collaboration with kind of these new people that worked on this shoot, I think is kind of like an interesting combination.
Yeah, it's very, very cool.
I also wanted to say, so I think we could be here talking about this particular photo for like hours and hours. Like we've touched on the gendered implications of it, kind of the freedom of this image. And I think that like there's interesting things tied together there with performance. And, you know, Harry is an artist. But I think, too, like I read this article from ID written by Douglas Greenwood, who talked about some other elements of this photo, too, that maybe I didn't consider. So I just wanted to kind of shout these out here towards the end of our discussion about this particular image as well. So Douglas Greenwood mentioned that there was something really nice about how this album cover nods to the Harry Styles album cover. So for HS1, but then is so different. So that original cover has this kind of soft pink aesthetic. And so these album covers, like we've all seen it on our phones, like look nice together. The colors don't clash.
Yeah, they do.
But it's so much more vibrant. And it's like, it is like the next step in the evolution. You know, it does kind of feel like that to me with the color palettes and the progression that way. And then the second thing that emerged for me from this article that I thought was really interesting was that it mentioned that Harry hasn't actually used his face in any of his album or single artworks until this cover. So on HS1, obviously his back is to the camera. It's the same on the Lights Up single cover, and it's the same on the Sign of the Times single cover. So yeah, so his face is like right facing the camera in this image. He is the focus. You're supposed to be looking at him. It's very different than kind of this demure, like looking at his back that's been in a lot of the other images. So I found that very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find that very, very interesting too.
So yeah, so I hope that with everything that we've said, we've kind of gotten across all of the complex feelings that we have about this cover. It's so hard to kind of sum up.
Condense
exactly,
it. Yeah.
Especially because it's such a surreal, like, you know, hard to and difficult to exactly articulate your feelings on it kind of an image. I think, yeah, I'd be curious to hear what listeners have to say about it as well. I think what we can all agree on for sure is that it's very striking and that we will remember this years and years from now, right? It's like just one of those striking, iconic album covers.
Yeah, it definitely is going to be very, very well remembered, I think. And I do think that probably people will be debating what it means, you know, 10, 15 years in the future. I'm sure that people will be debating what it means with us on Twitter. So hit us up if you want to.
Yeah, I am so looking forward to people writing about this in the future. I hope they do. I love to read scholarship on
me
it.
Too.
I'm fascinated by it.
Yeah, we've talked and talked about this. So
that could go on. So yeah, probably
and
best
we could
to
go
move
on,
into the next.
But probably best to move into the next one. So do you want to talk about this set of photos that are adorably called in our document Moose Knuckle and Egg?
Yeah, sure. And then there's a third photo too where he's wearing a hat. So I'll kind of describe the photos to let you know which ones we're talking about, listeners. So this first one that I've called Moose Knuckle after a comment that Graham Norton made when he showed this photo on his show is the photo of Harry in the purple pants with the hand coming straight out at the bottom of the photo with the yellow background. The photo that we're going to be referring to as Egg is the photo with the yellow background in which Harry is wearing white. And there's like a ball or an egg at the front of the photo there. And then this third photo that's in that same set is just, you know, he's just wearing a hat, but it's the same background with the yellow background and the egg in the front. So that's kind of the ones that we're going to be talking about in this next section.
Yeah. So tell me about your feelings about Moose Knuckle and Egg. Okay.
Yeah. So I guess, like, you know, doing some more research into Shona Heath's work, some of the things that she said reminded me of these photos. So Shona Heath has talked about, first of all, finding the humor in surrealist art. So she says, like, one thing that she really likes about surrealism is the humor in it and kind of the tongue-in-cheek aspect of it. And I see that definitely in these photos, especially this first one, the one we have deemed Moose Knuckle. There's of course, like, a campiness to it. There's a fun to it. Something else that jumps out at me is something that she said, which is, what is the wrongest color to paint something? Mm-hmm. So to me, the purple and the yellow, right, they're like opposite colors on the color wheel. And especially in this image with that, like, neon magenta-y mm-hmm. purple, it's like kind of a wrong color. Like, it, mm-hmm. the image doesn't look quite right. Because of that color combination. So those are kind of the things that jumped out at me about this photo with the purple pants and the yellow background.
Yeah. One thing that makes me curious about Moose Knuckle is, because both Shona and Tim are, like, so very much into, like, life sets and real sets, I'm wondering how Harry was positioned to look this way.
Yeah. I would love to see a behind the scenes image of this where, like, the hand, you know, the cover, the hand on the cover image is Tim Walker's hand. So I assume that this is also Tim Walker's hand. So he's probably, you know, he's probably has his hand out in front of the camera and he's holding the camera's other hand and he's taking the photo of Harry from below is what I would imagine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'd love to see a behind the scenes image of that and see what that process looked like.
Yeah, I love it. I love it so much. I love that a lot of the Shona Heath set work, and obviously here, we have to give a shout out to Harry Lambert's styling as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because these, I'm sure that was a very close collaboration. But I love that it's like, it's so wrong that it wraps around to being beautiful again. Mm. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, I do.
It's very calculated wrongness. Like, when I understand what Shona Heath is saying when she's saying, like, what is the wrongest color to paint something? Because if something's, like, only a little wrong, it's not going to look like this.
Mm. Yeah, and that's the surrealism of it. That's kind of the, I almost don't feel that way about, so, like, my favorite images from this shoot are the cover images. I think because the colors aren't that way, like, and different things kind of vibe with different people, right? So to me, like, that magenta-y purple and yellow, like, I find this image kind of funny. I enjoy looking at it, but it doesn't have that same, you know,
je ne sais quoi,
that the cover does, right? And I think that's because of the colors that are involved and because there isn't that clash. And so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I definitely feel similarly. I do find this image to be humorous, but I probably wouldn't want it for the cover. So now, okay, so there is a lot to say about Egg, but I feel like it's probably best to work around talking about the initial image, and then we're going to talk about some influences and then also some supplemental material, we shall say, that we got this last spring related to Egg. So what are your thoughts about Egg the One?
So the first thing that I'll say is, like, I had a lot of thoughts about this image before I did kind of the research for this episode and looked into Shona Heath's work, but I'll say that eggs appear a lot in a lot of her work. And so I found that to be interesting. Like, and she's talked a lot about how nature is a big theme in her work, how she draws a lot of inspiration from nature. And of course, there's, like, so much that could be said about eggs and birth and yeah, maybe we'll get into it in a second, but yeah, there's a certain, a little bit of a wrongness to the yellow in this image, the way that it's colored, but not so much with what he's wearing. I love the white hat that's in this image. I like the discarded clothing in the background. I think that adds a cool kind of element.
It looks like he was trying some clothes on and then decided that this is his outfit and now he's ready to go.
Yeah, it reminds me of something that he said about a photo that we'll discuss later, which leads me to believe that is kind of how this shoot went, and that he was just kind of, you know, discarding clothing and putting different clothing on and trying things out, and that was kind of the vibe of the shoot on that day.
Yeah, this is the one that made him feel the freshest at the end of the day, freshest, spiciest. So, yeah, the thing that made me think of this, I first noticed the egg-spiration in their work on the Garden of Earthly Delights. There's an image of a woman holding a large egg in like a darkened room. That's very striking, but I agree with Key that they both are so like into egg that to pick out just like one image would probably be reductive of their egg catalog. But now we're gonna like stop beating around the bush, and we're going to talk about what was released with egg this past spring. So how are you feeling about the floral uterus, Key?
what an introduction. What an introduction to this topic. No, so we got, I'm just so fascinated. So we got this really interesting image. I think it was this past summer that we got kind of some photos from this shoot that we didn't get originally. And along with that were some sketches from Shona Heath and kind of like her thoughts on the plans for this shoot. So paired with the egg images in this kind of group of photos and sketches that we got is this picture, and we'll have it linked in the description again with all the supplementary material so that listeners, you can know what we mean if you haven't seen this image.
But, if you haven't lost your mind over this image yet.
But yeah, it's this kind of like embryo looking thing, I guess you would say, like an embryonic image, and from where I guess like the uterus would be in this photo is flowers that are sprouting that appear in other photographs as well that we'll talk about later. So I think Harry just has a lot of really interesting kind of birth imagery in a lot of his work. He has like a lot of water imagery, which I'm sure we could do a whole episode about all the water imagery in Harry's work. But yeah, it just reminds me, you know, and I don't want to, like, there's a limit. I want to, like, tamp down on the idea that I'm, like, reading, like, a one-to-one Harry included an egg in this work because he's trying to communicate this one specific thing. I'm not so sure that it's that, especially because, you know, the collaborators have a history working this image into their works. But there is, you know, something to be said for life and vitality and where that comes from, and the uterus and egg and birth and Sign of the Times being written from a mother to her child. Like there's this connection and this motif in some of Harry's work that I think appears interestingly in this photograph.
Yeah. Harry is very much, I just find this image to be very striking when I first saw it, because it's kind of like he's in a womb, but also he has
the sketch, one.
The sketch. So it's very much like it's kind of this multi-layered thing. I do wish that I could ask Harry more questions about this image, but sadly, I am not his best friend. So,
yeah, and just like I'd love to hear from Shona Heath too. I think it was so interesting hearing from Harry on what his thoughts were behind the cover photo, because they were so inspecific. Like it was about freedom, it was about confidence, it was about all these different things. And so I'm just so interested to know, like, did these ideas come from his head? Did they come from Harry Lambert's head, who was heavily involved, who we're not talking about as much in this episode because we already have a whole episode on him? Did they come from Shona's head? Did they leap from Tim Walker's head? Like, either way, I'm thrilled to get the artistic work that was produced from the combination of all of their efforts. But yeah, I'm just very interested in, you know, the thoughts behind it. What were the conversations like between all these collaborators? Who pitched what ideas? What ideas come from where? Yeah, it's an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah, and I think for me also, like, something I will say about this drawing that I thought was quite funny, a quote from Shona was, "The looser the drawing, the better, because somehow people get it really quickly. Sometimes you're better off just suggesting something," which made me laugh, because when this photo dropped online, everybody I knew immediately understood what it was, even though it is a very like loose drawing. So I did find that little nugget to be funny when I listened to her little interview of it.
Yeah, it's a very particular image. I will say too, like, I think there's like a creative process. I think we talk, I think, in our Fine Line retrospective about some of the themes on Fine Line and about Lights Up in terms of like creation and the parallels between, you know, the creative process and the artistic process and other personal things. And that's like the least articulate or specific way that I could put it. But something about that speaks to me with this photo too, you know. It just gets my mind thinking about, you know, yeah, the creative process, what is involved with producing a work of art, what is involved with, you know, an egg hatching and mm-hmm. you know, all the images that come along with that.
In conclusion, egg. Okay, so now we're going to talk about, drumroll please, the nude, the lone nude. Key, when you first saw the nude, how did you feel?
I was very struck by the nude.
Academically?
I just didn't expect it. Like, I will say, like, again, talking about Shona Heath's description of, like, the humor in surrealism, which appears in several of these photos. And Harry is like such a humorous person and he's so funny. And I just remember when we first saw this photo, right, was that video of Harry with his nails with the smiley faces on it.
Mm-hmm.
When he was just Demon. Taking out the photos from the vinyl cover. And this is like the lone nude is like an enormous poster. It's like really big mm-hmm. in the original that came with the vinyl. And so, yeah, I just remember his little hands with the little smiley faces taking it out and like it's just so cheeky and like yeah, him presenting it in that way. It's very, very funny to me. And yeah, I loved that choice to release these images in that way.
Yeah, he is like, and here's the nude. And you're welcome. What I find to be funny about this image really is how large I've heard it is. I don't own the lone nude. I did not purchase the lone nude. I don't have a record player. So, yeah, I am nudeless. But I will say that, like, when I first saw him release the photo, for a second, I didn't get that it was him because I've never experienced someone displaying their own nude like that.
Oh, yeah. And also, he's like... This is an angle we haven't seen of him before. It's like, I agree. He looks very different in this photo. It's like mm-hmm. a particular angle of the photography that's very interesting. So, yeah.
Oh, I mean, the hands. I didn't recognize that the hands were his. I thought that it was just some random person displaying the hairy nude like that for a second.
Didn't
and then I was like,
a bunch of rings on and a nails and smiley faces?
Listen.
Who else would it be?
Listen.
Who'd you think it was? Liam Payne?
Yes. I mean, I don't know. I don't know about maybe Liam Payne these days would do that. I don't know. Maybe he has a hairy nude. If anyone wants to ask him if he has the lone nude in his bedroom on one of those many Instagram lives he does where he impersonates Harry Styles, go ahead. I would love to hear that. I know that many Harrys are not intrigued by any of the words out of his mouth, but he's just chaotic enough that I am a little interested. Anyway, yeah, so I think that there's just so much to say about this photo. So before we talk about any of the influences or like any other supplementary artwork that we receive later, I think that we should just talk about like what feelings it inspires in you, like what you can draw out of this photograph when you look at it. Other than he's sexy and pretty, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that is true. But yeah, to me, there's a cheek to this photo. That's what I think I get from it the most. I think there's like, in the symbolism of the imagery, there's a vulnerability, but I'm not even so sure that, and there's a vulnerability in the nakedness, right? But I just think he just looks like it's kind of funny. Like he just thinks, Harry's very self-aware. And I feel like, yeah, in this photo, he just looks cheeky and like he knows what he's doing. And he knows what he's inflicting on all of us when this is being released. So that was my kind of first like reaction to it. But what about you?
I guess for me, like, yes, I do love the cheekiness, but I love this sculpture. Like,
oh yeah, totally.
This heart, this anatomical heart that he's in the surrealist way that they're using it to show that he is romantic, right? Like, I do think that this photo, there is a real romance to this photo, but like in a surrealist way, right? Because it, you know, you could just have like the normal like heart, and like an anatomical heart does have like actual like heart shape-ish flowers attached to it. But they've chosen to display this romance by birthing him out of the heart.
Right. The birth thing is there again. I think that's definitely there.
Yeah.
There's like, but also I agree there's a romance to it, but there's a vulnerability. Again, not so much the vibe that I get from like the way that he looks in this image, but like it's an open heart. Like Harry loves puns. Half of his tattoos are puns. Like, I know he'd be aware of that, right? Like, he's sitting naked in an open heart. Like, the imagery there is pretty obvious. It's very golden. You're afraid because I'm so open. It's, like, very that, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot there. And I do think that also, like, one thing that Tim Walker was talking about when he was giving some shade to Instagram, he was saying, I really like photographs when they're in their like original state. I feel like photographs should be seen in the way that they're displayed, something of that nature. And so I do think that something very interesting about this photograph is how big it is for many people.
Yeah.
Like, I know that a lot of people would get their posters and they would be like, oh my God, this is a really big nude photo of Harry Styles. And I think that that's so interesting that he is hanging in so many people's bedrooms right now. Like,
oh yeah, I love that.
Mm-hmm, like this nude, and it's a nude of him, but it's not like, it's not really like a masculine nude of him.
Oh, it's definitely not. The pose is like, very feminine. He's like gracefully covering certain parts of his body. Like, yeah.
Yeah, he really like, he is femming it up for the camera and like really giving himself like these classic, you know, pinup beauty vibes so that you hang it in your room. And like, yes, it's a nude, but it's like so much romance and like it's artistic. Although I still remember that email thread that was going around from like that English teacher where she was like, there's a lot of students who have this nude in the background of their camera, and like, you gotta like use a different Zoom background, you guys. So we'll go one step deeper, and we'll talk about, I think, how when Shona Heath's designs were released, Harry was supposed to be clothed in this picture.
Huh. Yeah, that's true. From the sketch, he's wearing like a yellow. Yeah,
and he was not posed in this way. I found it like she had a quote. However much I try to orchestrate it, Tim might put somebody in that space and shoot it from a completely different angle or from behind, etc. She went on to talk about that. And when Harry talked about the experience of shooting this on Ellen, it was a very, very similar description of how this went.
Yeah, very organic, kind of came out of the moment. Mm-hmm. They were trying different things and he just kept taking off different items of clothing until finally they decided that no clothing was the way they were going to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found that very interesting. I also find interesting that there's some calling to some of Tim's other work on, so he did this photo shoot called Garden of Earthly Delights, which I was discussing earlier. But basically, it's a photo shoot inspired by this 16th century Hieronymus Bosch painting about paradise and hell. And Tim Walker had taken some photos of basically models in bubbles. He was saying that there's something about a bubble that is so symbolic of happiness. You know, the bubble that Glinda the Good Witch of the North and the Wizard of Oz, she turns up in this big, beautiful glass ball, and it's such a symbol of happiness. And I know that this isn't technically like a glass bubble that Harry's in, but I do find it interesting that it is like a hollowed out heart, and he looks, it's very similar, like the initial pose that Shona had put him in her drawing was a very similar pose to these photographs of Tim's models in these glass bubbles. And I just thought that that was such an interesting commentary about something about a bubble that's so symbolic of happiness. Because I do think that there's a real happiness in this photo with the heart. So I just found that really interesting, and how they sort of carried this motif of the bubble into this sculpture. I just found that that was really interesting. I feel like that really speaks to their collaboration as, okay, we have this motif, this bubble that we've worked with before. Harry's this very, like, you know, quote unquote, like, romantic figure, and sort of putting these ideas together. I felt like that was a really cool synergy. I just think that this photo is great. Okay, so do you want to move into the Stevie?
Yeah, so I called this kind of set of photos the Stevie, because in them, Harry is wearing a crescent moon necklace, which kind of fans have put together that Stevie Nicks gave him, because Stevie Nicks is a really good friend of Harry's, and she gives crescent moon necklaces to her close friends. So I thought that that was kind of a cute detail that he appears in that necklace in these photos, but they're the ones of him in the white pants with the white suspenders and no shirt on. And in the second photo, he has kind of this, I'm not exactly sure what you would call it. It's like eyes on a stem.
Yeah.
like a flower, but made of eyes. Is that what we're supposed to be getting from it?
Yeah, it's like a flower made of eyes. At least, so I think that for this shoot, like, they recreated it to look like a flower eyes. But in the original image of Saint Lucia, I think it is just supposed to be her eyes.
Yeah, so this photo, we kind of think, you know, and this has been passed around online in the fandom too, so I wish I could credit the first person who ever, you know, put this together, but unfortunately I think at this point it's kind of a game of telephone. But Saint Lucy is a Catholic saint whose feast day is on December 13th, which is of course the date Divine Line was released. And there's a painting of her with the exact same basically thing that Harry is holding up to his eyes in the second image. And so that's kind of like a nice little Easter egg. Like we said earlier, like, there's not necessarily like a one-to-one symbolism in a lot of these images, at least that we interpret. But I think with the feast day being on December 13th, we have to assume that that's kind of like a little Easter egg that's in this photo shoot, right?
Yeah. But then additionally, so there's a video with Shona Heath where she talks about a lot of her influences. And she mentioned that she had done a photograph with Paolo Riversi where she made a costume for somebody that had multiple eyes, because she's very passionate about this Picabia painting that has multiple eyes that she tries to represent in her work. In editing, somebody had represented this manifestation as the image of Harry Styles with these stalks for eyes. And initially I thought that she was saying that she had used this influence directly, but then Key pointed out to me that the editor might have just thrown it in there. So this is unknown if it's a specific influence, but she really finds this Picabia painting to be very joyous. And so I imagine that, like, with her being surrealist and having a sense of humor, the original image of Saint Lucia, she's like holding the eyes away from her. She kind of seems like she thinks that they're disgusting or uncomfortable. But in Harry's photo, he's very joyous and he's happy. And I imagine that, like, there would have been a sense of humor for Shona Heath and for Tim Walker too, to have Harry holding these eyes, but he's like loving it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, I think too, this kind of imagery repeating itself again, the multiple eyes that shows up a lot of Shona Heath's work. We've talked a lot in this episode, probably I bet more than people would have expected, about Shona Heath and Tim Walker and their previous work. But I think that looking into that is so worth it, because you can kind of pick up on these things. So like we kind of talked about before, like the Fine Line cover image is kind of unique in of itself. You can see, you know, influences from their other work in it, but you don't see anything exactly like that. But then when you start to comb through these other photos, like with the egg, with the eyes, you can kind of see the ways in which the particular interests when it comes to imagery of the collaborators kind of comes together to work with Harry in this photo shoot, which I think is kind of like a rewarding thing to track once you've kind of looked into it and you know what to look for.
Yes, absolutely. So, Key, do you want to talk about sends his assistant for coffee in the afternoon? Oh my gosh, I'm going through second puberty. My voice is terrible. But Key, you can keep that in if you care about me.
Well, now I will. No, but yeah, so I, you know, like I said, Moose Knuckle Egg, I gave kind of these photos little cheeky nicknames. So Sen's assistant to coffee for in the afternoon is the little nickname that I gave the photo of Harry in the big tie where he's kind of standing on a lily pad. That's kind of like a tealish color. Yeah, I just, that's like the immediate lyric that came to mind. The first thing that I saw this image, because, you know, we've talked a little bit before in our Fine Line retrospective about she and kind of like the potential, at least in terms of our interpretation, the gendered meaning of those lyrics and how it might refer to, you know, femininity. It could be interpreted to be about femininity or gender in some way. And so kind of like this image really speaks to that for me, the kind of business suit attire that Harry is in and the snap and the pose that he's in. Again, with all these photos, authorial intent is not something that we're like really heavily leaning into. I don't think that Harry like released the song She and then like took this image in specific to call to that, but it's just something that jumped out at me when I saw it, kind of that contrast between like the business attire and that pose.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's definitely a very like something that I've always felt about She is that it does have this kind of like almost this like camp aesthetic of what being heterosexual is. Like you have like an assistant and 9 a.m. the man drops his kids off at school. And it's so funny because like Harry's never had an office job. And like, so he's like, it is this very like this aesthetic of the heterosexual lifestyle. And I do think that like this calls to it specifically because there is this camp playfulness to, okay, I'm wearing like this tie and like this business suit, but like from the waist down, I'm like this vibrant blue. I'm snapping. I'm just over it. I think that Shona Heath's the wrongness of color is very present here. I love the blue and the yellow. I actually, you know, I think that that looks like a lily pad. I also think that it could be interpreted as some sort of a spotlight.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that. But yeah, I can see that. Yeah,
I do love this photo. I do wish that it was part of the original set. But it, alas, wasn't. This was one of the late
At least
late
we got releases. It.
At least we got it. I know. I'm so grateful.
Doesn't it haunt you to think about the hundreds of other images that we didn't get to see?
And the hundreds of songs
that we didn't get to hear. Mm. That haunts me more. Ugh, I wish you hadn't said that. I think about that all the time.
We're so haunted. Okay. So, Key, do you want to talk about... Let's talk about pilgrimry.
So... Let's not. No, I mean, so I will say, I think these next two kind of go together. So there's two images of Harry wearing the same outfit, right? He's wearing a kind of a pilgrim's hat, I guess you would think about it. And like these pink tights.
Leggings.
Tights, yeah, pink leggings like that have like these feet that are kind of reminiscent of like, so, you know, the image that I think this was meant for is the second image, which is Harry kind of as the stem of a flower. So there's like it's the image with the red background, there's dirt on the ground. So it seems to me that the pilgrimry photo, the classic one where it's the fisheye and he's like, you know, in the camera and it's the big one that's on the poster on the opposite of the nude, it seems to me that they were just kind of playing around that photo showed up, but that it seems like it was part and parcel with the flower photo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't like it.
Yeah, I
don't call us homophobes.
Yeah, I'll say I do kind of enjoy the memeing that's happened around this image. I can totally understand why this would be funny to Harry in particular, because it's just so different from like the types of images that he usually shoots. It's so different from like the types of images of him that would usually be on a poster. So like that is funny to me, and I can kind of see like the campness in that. But yeah, it doesn't quite work for me the way that some of the humor in these other photos does. But I love that people enjoy it. If you're sitting here like, I'm so mad at you, this is the best photo of the whole shoot, more power to you. You're doing great.
Yeah, add us on Twitter. Say, Harry Styles Pod, you're the worst podcast ever.
Don't say that.
And then make sure to give a link so people can listen to it and check to see if you're right. okay, so moving on from pilgrimry. We're going to talk about flowery, which I do love.
Yeah, I like this photo too.
What feelings does Flowery inspire in you?
What feelings does it inspire? I don't know. I love the flowers in his hat. I think that's like such a cute touch of the image that like the flowers, the image is supposed to, you know, represent a flower and that he's in the middle of the flower, but then he has these real flowers coming out of his hat. I just think it's like a cute touch.
Listeners, I feel like we should inform you that when looking at a flower diagram, Harry has placed himself in the part of the flower that is called the style. I hate him so much. You know, when I was messaging Key about this and I was putting this document together, I said to Key, I think that the rage that this inspired in me instantly for this wordplay. I
love it. He loves puns.
He loves puns, and I want to punish him for it.
Oh God.
No, I do love it though. It is. It's so cute. It's adorable. Yeah. So I feel like I get a lot of the themes of like the birth and growth rebirth and, here yeah. and growth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially with these roots, like the very unnatural colors of the roots. Mm. And I love little things. Like I love his position and like the dirt on his feet, which I just think is so cute.
And I enjoy that you can see, so like in the kind of set of this photo, you can see the part of the flower that then you can track back to the image of him in the tie that we were talking about before that was nicknamed Sense, his assistant in coffee in the afternoon. So I like too, like the way that they kind of incorporated these different sets that Shona built into these different photos. But yeah,
I definitely agree. So tell me, Key. Would you have preferred this version or the version where his butt was showing that was released in a drawing by Shona Heath?
Yeah, so there was planned a nude, perhaps, at least based on Shona's sketches, but it was not of him in the anatomical heart. It was him with his back facing the camera in this photo. And I do love that sketch, and I would like mm-hmm. to see it. Mm-hmm. But I love this photo, too.
Yeah, I do, too. I mean, personally, I would love if we have both. Probably my favorite part of that picture is the fact that it has like an arrow to Harry and it says Harry at the end of the arrow. Like we're not going to know who he is.
Well, yeah, for Shona's, you know, notes
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, for Shona's. Yeah, but I love imagining her just writing Harry. I just think it's so fun. I just think that this photo is fun. I love it so much. And I do think that it does represent a lot of the themes of like growth and rebirth that are in this whole photo set. So, yeah, I think that we've covered all of the photos. Thoughts for wrap-up, Key? What do you think?
Yeah, I want to stress again that we are not art historians and that we don't have degrees in art history or art criticism. And that we're just looking through these photos and pulling out what jumps at us. And I'd be so curious to hear, too, from listeners what jumps out at you and what you kind of get from these images. I think what's so cool about surrealism is that kind of lack of that one-to-one, this means this aspect of it in most of these. And so there is so much room for interpretation and kind of tracking the motifs and tracking the themes. And so if you notice anything that you think we haven't noticed, I'd love if you'd let us know.
I definitely agree. So talking about Harry Styles 3, would you like him to do something like this again? What are your dreams of the album booklet for Harry Styles 3, the record booklet, because obviously the album booklet will be so many fun photographs of him traversing around Italy. But
yeah, listeners, if you have not listened yes. to our Treat People with Kindness episode, in which we really clowned about our thoughts that HS3 is coming in the spring, that would make more sense to you then. But
what do you think? Do you think that you want to, would you like him to, for Harry Styles 3, to lean into some sort of similar surrealist style, or do you have other ideas of what you'd like to see for his album design?
Yeah, so I would like to see something totally different, and I think that that's what we're going to get, because there's such a difference between the cover shoots for HS1 and Fine Line, and I completely, like, there's connections, right? There's, like, the pinks in the color palette, but so different in kind of the vibes that they emanate, so I would love something completely different that I would not be able to predict, right? Because I would never have predicted this cover shoot in the way that it looks. But at the same time, I love this one so much that it, if it was kind of something else in this vein, that'd be fine. But personally, for me, and I think maybe I mentioned this a little bit in our last episode, I would kind of like to see like an earth tonesy kind of grounded cover. I'd love to see a painting. That's something that he hasn't done before. Mm-hmm. So both of the covers for HS1 and Fine Line are photographs. So I think maybe it's an interesting opportunity to do a different type of art. And that could be cool, but I'm kind of open to, I trust him. I trust his artistic sensibility. And so, yeah, my mind's kind of open on that one. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I am not like an art historian either. So I'm just like literally vibing with what he does. And I definitely, I think it would be very cool if he collaborated with a painter. We know that he has an interest in fine art and that he has friends in the fine art world. So who's to know what's to come?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that wraps up all of the thoughts that I have. Again, like, let us know if you have any thoughts that you thought we missed or like any opinions that you think that we should have had, which actually I'm sure that you will just let us know without asking. But yeah, I think we're going to seg into a segment we like to call Must Get Rid of Toxic in Community. Oh, are you excited for this one, Key? Oh, are you excited? Oh my God, I'm so excited. So this past week in California, Harry's best friends, Jeff and Glenn, got married.
Yay,
congratulations. Oh my gosh. You know, not to pry too deeply, but we know that they have been together for a long time. Jeff is Harry's manager. I'm so happy for them. It's great. Harry brought a guest to the wedding and the internet exploded. We're not going to get too into prying into Harry's personal life, but the news for, you know, his personal choices, he has chosen to make his relationship with director Olivia Wilde, whatever it is, relatively public. So congratulations on having a girlfriend, Harry. The internet does not seem to have this opinion of the relationship. And they have been expressing this through mask discourse.
Oh, God.
So,
Not this.
Yeah. So ever since Harry was spotted out with Olivia, the internet has been trying to shame him for not following pandemic restrictions when really they just don't like him being seen out of the house with his new girlfriend. How are we feeling about that, Key?
Not great. I don't, like, again, we're not a gossip show. We're not going to, like,
delve
into their personal relationship. We also, I know that there's a lot of opinions about COVID and what behavior is, you know, mm-hmm. the best behavior and what behavior is, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I agree. So much of what I've seen about this, I'm like, be honest with yourself. Like, you know why this is what you're saying. Like, it's mm-hmm. very frustrating to witness. But
yeah. So to demonstrate what has been happening, I'm going to propose a dramatic reading of a concerned post from, what is this, an update account of an update account, right?
Yeah, we won't clarify
clarify specifically. Apparently in the online, some update accounts update on other update accounts. And then this one decided to have an opinion. They are so concerned about the pandemic, as I'm sure you can tell. Update. Hi, everyone. This isn't an actual quote-unquote update, so to say.
So maybe don't post it. You ever think about that?
But we just wanted to come on here and ask you to please, please follow the self-isolation and quarantine guidelines. There is no need for you to go to parties or weddings at the moment. And you need to stay at home for the safety of others, but most importantly, yourself. No one wants you to get sick. Please listen to what H said in this tweet. Oh, I forgot. They quote tweeted the one about him saying that everybody needs to self-isolate last March. So yes, they made sure to quote tweet him on this because I'm sure that he super needed to see it.
Thank God he's not on the app.
Please listen to what H said in this tweet, even if he didn't follow his own advice. We are truly all in this together and nothing will get better unless we make it better ourselves. As always, TPWK and TCOE, all the love to you, your friends, and your family.
The passive aggressive nature of this thread really takes me back. That's all I will say.
So finally, at the wedding, Harry was seen in a bathrobe for reasons that are unknown.
Probably an inside joke.
So the New York Post decided to comment on this. Why did Harry Styles wear a robe to his friend Jeff Azoff's wedding? And, oh, a person had really a scathing indictment of Harry's character. Harry Styles has the same attention-seeking energy I had in grade 8 when I came to a civvies day in my pajamas, and a particularly aggressive grade 11 cornered me in the corridors and asked, "Who the fuck do you think you are?"
This does get me.
Yeah. Oh,
that's God. Pretty funny.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's wild.
He said, like listen, I love Harry. Listen. We have a podcast about him.
He is an Aquarius.
Yes.
As an Aquamoon, I understand.
I don't know what that means. I'm not an astrology gay, but I trust that that means something.
Our listeners will know what it means. So now we're going to go into our outro. Key, are you looking forward to any things? Book, movie, TV, Rex? What movies have you seen recently?
Yeah, so I've been on a River Phoenix kick of late. River Phoenix is one of my favorite actors, has been ever since I was a kid. And so I've been kind of going this past week and watching some of his movies. And for the first time, I watched a movie called Running on Empty, which I would really recommend. I thought it was really good. He was nominated, River Phoenix was nominated for Best Supporting Actor at the Oscars for it when it was released. But I don't talk to anybody who's like seen it. I feel like it's kind of slept on. So I would highly recommend that. And I would also recommend the movie Booksmart. And that is all I will say on that.
What is bringing you joy in these difficult times?
What's bringing me joy in these difficult times?
What's that helping you cope with the attempted overthrow of the government?
Oh, God. Honestly, I've been loving seeing people get in touch with us about the podcast. We've gotten some really great feedback on the Treat People with Kindness episode. So thank you so much to everybody for listening. That's been bringing me joy. And yeah, I've been drinking a lot of hot chocolate this week. So,
oh, my gosh. That's so also that. Nice. I will say one non-Harry thing bringing me joy in this difficult time is that Donald Trump got suspended from Twitter.
Yeah, I think too late in the game, but it was hilarious.
Oh, it was so funny. And all of the Harrys being like at the people who annoy them. Oh my gosh, it's real Donald Trump. Twitter suspend them. It's just killing me. It's so funny.
All the accounts that with the profile picture of Trump with a mustache. Pretending oh my God. Trump trying to create fake accounts. It got me.
It is definitely good. In terms of recommendations, oh, the gays are going to kill me for this one. I started listening to Lady Gaga's Chromatica this week, and then I definitely got distracted in the middle. But by next time, I will have a review for the gays of Chromatica, all of my thoughts on it, if you're interested. Other than that, I keep listening over and over again to my playlist of Mother songs, which is complete opposite indie-wise from Lady Gaga. But I definitely have a playlist called Mother songs that make me feel insane that I like to listen to when I'm stressed out. So, yeah. All right. So, Key, you want to move us into the final words?
Sure. So you can contact us at weblameharrystyles@gmail.com. On Twitter and Tumblr, we can be found at @HarryStylesPod. You can follow us there, DM us there if you have any suggestions. Let us know what you think of the show. And another way to let us know what you think of the show is to rate and review our podcast. So we'd so appreciate if you just took a second and you did that for us.
Subscribe to us on your preferred podcast host to become notified of our next episode. Thank you for listening. We love you. Talk to you next time.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Do it now.